April is National Poetry Month, and Public Radio 90 observes the occasion by presenting readings by poets from the Northern Michigan University and surrounding communities. Beverly Mathern is an emeritus professor at Northern Michigan University, where she served the Department of English as director of the Master of Fine Arts Program in Creative Writing, director of the Visiting Writers Series, and poetry editor of Passages North Literary Magazine. The author of 6 books of poetry, she still publishes widely. For example, her poem Pink Geraniums, which won the Cecil Hackney Literary Award for Poetry in a national competition in 1994, is forthcoming in 2019 in Universal Oneness, an anthology of magnum opus poems from around the world. 360 poems by 360 poets from 60 countries, published by Authors Press in New Delhi, India.
Pink Geraniums. I remember the first time I saw them in December, pink geraniums in her office window, hot pink, the only color against limestone, snow, and gray clouds. The flowers grew all winter, shameless of their opulent blooms, their large circular leaves, the way they filled the window as if to say, "Take me, take me, I'm yours." In those long stretches at 10 below, I would take the shortcut from the library through Denison to Eisenhower, time my treks with her office hours, stop at her open door, throw a hello, how goes, and bow like an old coot from the old West. In my Ford pickup, I took her to Shoes Cafe, to chamber concerts, auctions in Council Grove, where Flint Hills swell and dip, where farmers and their wives unload Bavarian crystal, Lunt silver, antique Steinways, and head south. In spring, when purple crocuses pushed up from the snow, I took her to my wheat farm, through a tablecloth on the barn floor. Her shivering under me, straw mingled in her black hair, I kissed her full on the lips, smelled her woman, smelled tractor grease, the earth, and gave her my mother's double row of diamonds. Today, her long dead, and me 90 among white sheets in my hospital bed, I see pink geraniums, hot pink, the only color against limestone, snow, and clouds. Okay, and now I'll do Dauphin. His name comes from the word dolphin in French. He's part dolphin and part alligator, snapping turtle. It is an ekphrastic poem, and also the poem is in his voice, so that it's a dramatic monologue. This one and the next one I'll do was inspired by paintings in a special exhibit at the Arthur Roger Gallery in New Orleans last summer. Dauphin. It's no fun being a freak, part bottled-nosed dolphin and part alligator-snapping turtle. To make matters worse, scientists have given me a new name, Dauphin Boudrocki. Dauphin for short, derivative of the French dauphin. Apt, I suppose, when you consider my origin in Cajun country. My dolphin brain is of considerable size, as you know. It tells me that I am sociable, agile, intelligent. But here I am, solo in a swamp, more lente than festina, lugging this triple-ridged, barnacle-spiked carapace, this military accoutrement fit for a brute campaign in a brute time, like that of Attila the Hun, say, or Ivan the Terrible. Note my colors, gray, brown, olive green, and the abundant algae on my shield, for martial camouflage, of course. Sometimes I feel like a 36-ton panzer, other times more prehistoric, a combination stegosaurus, scolosaurus, gorgoiliosaurus, God, I'm ugly. Most embarrassing is this. Despite my smart brain, I keep burying myself in mud, only eyes and snout visible, to ambush a fish or frog for dinner, maybe a snake. But the coup never satisfies, the prey minuscule. My dolphin brain tells me that I should have instead a sea lion or fat fillet of whale, neither available in these degenerate waters. The discrepancy between what I am and what I should be is a catch-22. My turtle grandfather lived to age 70. I'm just 6 and don't stand a fighting chance for such longevity. Sometimes I wish I had grandfather's powerful jaw. I'd hack to pieces the humans who polluted the earth, its waters, drag them down into the slime, and let my deviant self feast upon them. Oh, to spy hop, to bow ride a bow slicing the Pacific, to be the sleek aerodynamic bullet my father was, to leap into cerulean sky, Apollonian sun, with force greater than gravity. Okay, and the next one is titled Were-Coon, and he's part raccoon and part werewolf, as you see once he morphs into that. My name is Clovis Coon, but it should be perfect omnivorous eating machine because my greatest obsession is food, 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 all year round, food. Here in the swamp, I get tired of bullfrogs, crawfish, worms, so in early spring, I head to town. There's nothing like roadkill, like lapping up the splat of a dead rat or doe. As weather gets warmer and skies bluer, I raid backyard gardens, small fields, before everything gets canned for winter or picked over for the French market. In March, my middle name is Ravenous. I devour all the young asparagus shoots, all the cauliflower I want. By April, I'm foraging beets. By May, I'm laying waste blueberry bushes, carrying off eggplants, cukes. You see me plundering the blackberry patch in June, paws and mug stained purple. I'm gathering figs by August, some sour and rotting. I'm looting the grapevines. Give me the rancid grapes. Give me the overripe watermelon covered with mold. I'm raising the corn patch. Give me kernels, fat and crunchy. In September, October, I'm demolishing collard greens, digging for yams. I'm pillaging persimmons in November. In December, parsnips, clementines. And give me nuts, 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 my favorite. They fatten me best for winter. I get all the acorns I want in the swamp, but here in town, I'm ransacking cupboards and pantries for pecans, for filberts. I'm raiding groves once aphids set in, caterpillars and larvae set in, boring holes in shells. Now, it's February, and my cousin Alphonse Coon invites me to a king cake party in New Orleans. Well, I already got a natural mask. Who's going to know whether I'm a raccoon or a petit Frenchman in disguise? I get there, and all along the back wall of the dance hall are king cakes. Don't give me a little bitty piece, I say to myself, and run away with a whole cake, the one containing the baby Jesus, it so happens it. I devour it, its oodles of frosting, purple, green, and gold, under the full moon, my favorite prowling time. The moon strokes my fur, settles like doubloons in my black eyes. I bury my nose in its beam, gulp them like thick honey, until I feel the white breath of Midas on my body. Next thing I know, I'm morphing into something I'm not. I'm turning white, growing taller. Something's happening to my ears. They're relocating to the sides of my head like a human's. My teeth are getting bigger and sharper. My nails, normally petite and pointy, are getting longer and more hooked like Madame Grandois' claws. I see witches flying about, bats darting, wolves howling. I'm chasing after Cajun boys and girls, the ones who tell lies, steal toys, stay out too late at night. Then I see the fiddler heading home after the dance. I'm right on his heels, biting his butt. Blood, blood, give me blood. I'm piercing his neck with my big canines, sucking more blood. Suck, suck, all I can get. I let him go, collapse, conk out a bit. When I wake, it's morning, and I'm so tired I can hardly walk home, but I do. I stumble up the road, into the swamp, craving moss and sleep. Bullfrogs drill my ears. I sniff the muddy air and vaguely remember something about sweet cake, frosting, and a tiny baby, its moon face smiling down on me from the stars. Now I'll finish with Moon Devotions, a short poem in celebration of Easter. When the moon grows full, and I suck in, my breasts swollen, ribcage taut. Light enters dark places, drives away unwanted festering. Out of brokenness, Easter trillium blooms.
These National Poetry Month readings are a Public Radio 90 production, recorded and produced in the facilities of WNMU-FM at Northern Michigan University. I'm producer and host Kurt Hosworth, with assistance in recording from Hans Ahlstrom. Thanks for listening.